We're on Daf Samach Zayin Omid Beis, and in order to pick up the last piece that we studied yesterday, let's go back to Rav Ashi, which you'll find if you take a beeline across from Tosfos Dibra Maskil Nismoch, and you'll drop down a few lines, you'll see the word Sasayim, and then you'll see Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi has a new interpretation about the seifa of this braisa. The end of the braisa qualified the halacha here. We're talking about carrying from a boulder into the sea, from the sea into the boulder. And that's called minasela liyam, minayam lisela. And the braisa added the qualification ad kama ad base sasayim, and Rav Ashi says liolam aresha, that this comment at the end of the brisa of ad base sasayim, and we're talking about the shear of the sela, goes back to the resha. The halacha that's explicit in the resha with regard to prohibiting taking from the yam into the sela, or from the sela into the yam, and the Bryce is telling us that if the sela is wider than 2 than a base sasayim, then there's no isur, no prohibition in carrying from the sela into the yam, or vice versa. Now, this is problematic, and Rav Ashi is now going to try to solve that problem, because according to Rav Yochanan, a Rishus HaYochid, in a case of a sela, which has the dimensions of 10 tfachim in height, as this boulder, the Rock of Gibraltar, you know, it shoots up above the sea level, and it has the width of 4 tfachim. In this case, we're talking about a sela that's even wider than a base sasayim, so certainly it's a Rishus HaYochid. And how would the Braisa, according to Rashi's interpretation, allow you in this case to carry from the sela into the yam? The yam is a karmelis. We don't carry from a Rishus HaYochid out into a karmelis, or back in from the karmelis into Rishus HaYochid. And Rav Ashi, if you recall from the end of yesterday's shiur, applies a universal rule of Psak Halach that Hein Amru Vehein Amru, that when the Chachamim create an Isur, they can qualify that Isur and limit it, so that in the case of a karmelis on a Doraisa level, we're not talking about a Rishus HaRabim. As we mentioned, a karmelis is not inhabited, or it's not used enough by the rabbim to qualify as a Rishus HaRabim. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's a bika. It's a relatively quiet area. It's not a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, on a Doraisa level, you'd be allowed to carry from this boulder out into the sea, which is a karmelis. This, despite the fact that the boulder has the status of Rishus HaYochid, because in the Reisha of our Mishnah, we're talking about a boulder that has the height of 10 tefachim, and therefore it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. And the karmelis on a Doraisa level is not a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you'd be allowed to carry from the boulder out into the sea, into the karmelis. But Hein Amru, the Chachamim created an Isur, and they said you're not allowed to carry from Rishus HaYochid into a karmelis, because people might mistakenly conclude that the karmelis is Rishus HaRabim. And since they might confuse the karmelis with Rishus HaRabim, because it has no mechitzos, it's an open area, therefore they gave it the status of a quasi Rishus HaRabim. But Hein Amru, they decided on the parameters and when this Isur Derabbanan would apply and when it would not apply. And they said that in a case where for a logical reason, a compelling reason, which we'll see in just a minute, they want to be matir the Isur. And in this case, they're going to be matir, they're going to permit you to carry out into a caramelist from a Rishus HaYochid. And that's called Hein Amru VeHein Amru. Which means that, again, as we said, the principle all over with regard to the Rabbanans is that they can decide when the Rabbanan applies, when the Isur applies, when it doesn't apply. So they created this entity called an Isur Hotzah from a Rishus HaYochid out into a caramelist, or a Hachnasa from a caramelist into Rishus HaYochid, and they will permit it whenever they decide to permit it, whenever there is a compelling reason, as we'll soon see, to permit it. And let's keep in mind that that on a Doraisa level, you'd be allowed to carry on top of the boulder, from one side of the boulder all the way to the other, because the boulder has the status of a Rishus HaYochid. And in a Rishus HaYochid, the Torah doesn't give any restrictions. You're allowed to carry it as far as you, and as long of a distance as you so desire. However, in this case, keep in mind that the boulder is wider than Beis HaSayim, that gives it the din of a Karpaf, and therefore he would not be allowed to carry more than 4 amos on top of the boulder. Now, let's see how the Gemara develops here a thesis to explain Rav Ashi. And again, what we're focused on is, since the boulder has the status on a Doraisa level of Rishus HaYochid, why and how did the Rabbanan permit carrying from the Yam onto the Sela and vice versa when the Yam has the status of a Karmelis? Why did they lift and suspend the Isur de Rabbanan of carrying from a Karmelis into a Rishus HaYochid or vice versa? That's what we want to answer. So the Gemara says the following. Hein Amru Karpaf Yeser mi Beis HaSayim Shlo Hukaf Lidira Ein Metaltel Bo Ela Bi Arba Amos. So one Isur D'Rabbanan that was enacted by the Chachamim was carrying 4 Amos in a Beis HaSayim. Again, on a Doraisa level, since it was hukaf, although not ledir, it's irrelevant, it is a Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry from one end to the other. The Karpaf is irrelevant on a Doraisa level, but the Rabbanan created this Isur Karmel, Isur of a Karpaf, in which they prohibited you carrying 4 Amos, even though it's Rishus HaYochid with Doraisa. Vehein Amru, they also instituted an additional Isur de Rabbanan of Emetal Rishus HaYochid LeKarmelis. And both of these Isurim, whether it's carrying 4 Amos in a Karpaf or taking something from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis or from a Karmelis to a Shusha, both of these are Derabbanan. In the case of a Sela that is 10 Tvachim high and is more than 4 Tvachim wide up to a Beis HaSayim, if it's not a Karpaf, it doesn't have the Shear of a Karpaf, Shari L'Toltule Bekule, then the Rabbanan are not going to change the status of the Rishus HaYochid Doraisa, and it remains the Rishus HaYochid L'chol Dineha, because it's less than a Beis HaSayim, and it's not a Karpa, it's a Rishus HaYochid. Ishari L'Tutule Bekule. However, Asrei Rabbanan L'taltule lo min hayam l'tok v'lo min tok l'yam. The Rabbanan is going to say that even though this Sela, which is less than a Beis HaSayim, you're allowed to carry within it from one end to the other, but nevertheless you're not allowed to carry from the yam into it or not. My time is Rishus Yachid Gemura. It's a Rishus Yachid Gemura, which means two things. Number one, it means that you're allowed to carry from one end of the bolt to the other. Number two, it means that you're not allowed to carry from the yam onto the boulder, because that would constitute a violation of the drabanan of carrying from a karmelis into a shus hayachid. Aval yesa mi beis asayim. Now, in the case of a sela that is has the width that's more than a beis asayim, which means the osel tatuli bekule, the sela now has the status of a karpaf, and you're not allowed to carry up to but not beyond four amos from one part of the sela to the other, and that's the drabonon of karpaf. Isharu rabonon l'tiltule mitocho leyam u'miniyam l'tocho. The rabonon are now going to suspend or lift the prohibition of carrying from the yam into the sela, even though, again, it's going from a Rishus Hayochid to a Karmel, so from a Karmel to Rishus Hayochid. My timer, what's the compelling logic to allow such a thing? And the Gemara answer is, Dilma Amri Rishus Hayochid Gemurahi. If we're going to prohibit carrying from the Yam onto the Sela, then in the minds of the onlooker, they're going to conclude that the sela has the status of a Rishus HaYachid. It's not a karmelis, because if it were, then you'd be allowed to carry from the yam into the sela. So that if we would insist on activating or applying our Isur Derabanan of Tiltul from the Yam onto the Sela, then Dilma Amri, people will come to the conclusion, Shusayochid Gmurihi, the Asil Taltule Vekule. In other words, we're going to drop the ball, so to speak, on the Derabanan of Karpaf. They're going to consider, but we need to somehow notify them that the sela is not a Rishus HaYochid Gemura, in order to achieve our goal, that they will understand that they're not allowed to carry from one side of the sela to the other. Again, if they're under the impression that the sela has the status of Rishus HaYochid Gemura, then they would carry from one side of the sela to the other. We're talking about a sela now that has the rochav of a beis asayim, which means you're not allowed to carry four amos onto the sela. How are we going to guarantee that they won't carry four amos on top of the sela? We're really in a dangerous situation here, because we told them they're not allowed to throw anything from the yam onto the sela, and they understood the reason for that is because you cannot take something from a karmelis and bring it into a Rishus HaYochid. So they now come to the impression, the conclusion, that the status of the sela is that of a Rishus HaYochid. That's a very dangerous situation, because if they mistakenly identify the sela as a Rishus HaYochid, then they will violate the Isur Drabanan in the case of Yeser Mi Beis Asayim of carrying four amos on the sela. So we're in a kind of a head-on collision. We have to make a trade-off here. We have to decide what we should do over here. If we allow carrying from the yam onto the sela, people in their mind will realize that the sela has the status of a karmelis, and you're allowed to carry from the sela to the yam and vice versa, because the sela has the same identical status as the yam, which will further strengthen their understanding that chas v'shol, we can't carry four amos on top of the sela. So again, what's on the scale here that weighs down in one direction or the other? on one side of the scale, we have the Isur of Hotzah min HaKarmelis u'Shesayachid, or Shesayachid l'Karmelis, which is an Isur d'Rabbanan. On the other side of the scale, we have the Isur of carrying four Amos in a Rishus HaYachid shelo hukaf l'dira that has the Rochav of a Beis HaSayim, what we call a Karpav. And there's a kind of a head-on collision here, because we're dealing with the psychology, or shall we say the education of the public, and we're in a tight, we're in a bind here from a pedagogic point of view, because if we convey to them the message that they're not allowed to carry from the Sela to the Yam, then they're going to come to the mistaken conclusion that that is a violation of Hotzah min Rishus HaYachid LeKarmelis. And that's why the Rabbanan are putting their foot down and they're prohibiting it. And therefore they're going to mistakenly come to the conclusion that even the Rabbanan, the status of the Sela is a Rishus HaYachid, which really it is, if only it's up to a Beis HaSayim. But once we get to the case where it is wider than a Beis HaSayim, now the Rabbanan superimposed onto the Sela, onto this Rishus HaYachid, a status of a Karmelis, of a Karpa. And they instituted an Isur of carrying four Amos on the Sela. But the people, if you insist on the Isur of Yam, L'Sela, Sela, Yam, they are going to mistakenly think, well, what's wrong with carrying it on the Sela? I don't care if it's a Beis HaSayim, it's irrelevant, because you told me that I'm not allowed to carry from the Yam to the Sela, vice versa, meaning the Sela has the status of Rishus HaYachid. Oh, if it's Rishus HaYachid, then I'm certainly allowed, I have carte blanche, to carry on the Sela from one side to the other. And therefore, we're going to undermine the Derabbanan of carrying four Amos in a Karpaf, meaning in an area that has Hekev Mechitza Shalol L'Seim Dira, and it has the width of a Beis HaSayim. So Gemara says, U'mayishna? In other words, why are you being makil in one Isur Derabbanan for the sake of strengthening another Isur Derabbanan? You're being makil on the Isur Derabbanan of carrying from a Karmelis into a Rishus HaYachid, or from a Rishus HaYachid out to a Karmelis, in order to be makayim the Isur of Tiltul Arba Amos on top of the Sela. That's also an Isur Derabbanan. So you have a toss-up here between two Isur Derabbanan. Why do you choose to allow this one in order to strengthen this one? What's the defoot? What's the primary goal here? So the Gemara says that Tocho Shchiach, Avol Mitocho Liyam Umin Yam Litocho Lo Shchiach. In other words, carrying something for Amos within a certain area is something that happens all the time. I mean, we always carry things four Amos or more within a domain. So that's called Shchiach. And the Rabbanan want to institute an Isur Rabbanan of carrying four Amos in a Rishus HaYachid that is Hukaf Shalol L'Shem Diran, has the Rochav of a Beis HaSayim. So that it's very Shchiach that they would violate that Isur. In other words, we need to get very serious and have a tight grip on this Isur of carrying four Amos in a Karpaf. And he writes here, Kevon Shemachmas Godlo Domilish Zerabim Yavo Litos Aprish Zerabim Shemuto Litaltil Bi Arba Amos. That's why were the Rabbanan so careful and so strict as to enact an Isur of carrying something for Amos in Rishus HaYachid? I mean, that's a real chumrah. The answer is we're really afraid that people will mistakenly confuse this Karpaf, this very wide area, with a Rishus HaRabim. They might come to carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim. So this Isur of carrying four Amos, in the case where he has more than a Beis HaSayim and Rochav, is a very serious Isur. It's almost like Min Rabbanan, you're carrying four Amos in Rishus HaRab. However, in the case of Mitocha L'Yam and Miyam L'Tocha Lo Shchiach, to find in the sea a Sela that is so wide that it's wider than a Beis Asayim, and therefore we're going to tell you, you know what? We're not going to allow you to carry from the Yam onto the cellar. And why? Because although it's Rosh Hashayachid min HaTorah, but min Rabbanon, it has a status. I'm sorry. I just went off the deep end over there for a second. Because it has the status on a derisa level of Rosh Hashayachid, therefore we have to prohibit carrying from there into a Carmelis. Yeah, but what's the scenario here? The scenario, the case that we're dealing with is a Rosh Hashayachid that's wider than a Beis Asayim without Hekif L'dira in a case of a Sela that's out in the middle of the sea. I mean, give it a break. Like, how frequently are you going to find a Sela that shoots out in the middle of the sea that has the width of a Beis Asayim, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar? I mean, there are stones like that and boulders that you'll see. If you go rowboating, you'll see them all the time. But nevertheless, it's relatively low Shchia. So the essence of a Karpaf with its Iser of carrying four Amos in a wide area, which we're saying is almost as if on a Drabbanan level, he has violated the Iser of carrying four Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, insofar as we confuse a Karpaf with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that's a Gzera Drabbanan that has to be strengthened and has to be maintained under all circumstances. It's a Gzera Chamura Ma'od. But to say that, well, the Iser of Hotzah from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Karbalist has to apply to this case of a Selah that is, in our circumstances, is more than a Beis Asayim wide in the middle of an ocean, I mean, give it a break, that's not Shchia. And therefore, in the case of something that's not Shchia, we have a principle of Milsalo Shchicha Lo Gozru Bei Rabbanon. And therefore, what we want to accomplish educationally is to make sure that the people realize that this Sela has the din of a Karpaf, which generates an Iser of Tiltul Arba Amos. That's our primary concern. And if in order to guarantee that strengthening of the Gzera, because again, the idea of four Amos in a Karpaf is very common, etc., as we discussed, they will have to, in this particular case, forfeit, or shall we say, drop the ball on the Iser of Tiltul from the Sela, which is so large, it's more the Beis Asayim, into the Yam, or from the Yam Lehefa. Because again, if we insist on that Iser, people are going to come to the conclusion that the status of the Sela is a Rishus HaYochid, and therefore they're going to come to carry it for Amos on top of the Sela. However, if you take a classic Rosh Hashanah Yochid, not this very strange case of a Sela that shoots out of the water and is a Beis Asayim wide, in your average Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you're not allowed to take it out to the Karmelis. That's already a Dovra Shchiyah. Because we usually find a Karmelis is located outside or contiguous to a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. That's very commonplace. And therefore, in a commonplace situation, the Rabbanon insisted on the Iser Tiltul from one to the other, meaning from a Rosh Hashanah Yochid to a Karmelis or vice versa. And in the Dovra Shchiach, Hamidu Chachomes Gzeirosam Shalo Yitaltulu Ze Mise. So all that, Rabotzai, is a completion of yesterday's Shia, because we ran out of time. And now we're starting the Shia for today. And we're talking about carrying something from one house to the other in a case of two houses that share a common chatzer, and there was no Erev. Again, if there was an Erev chatzeros, you can carry from one house to the other within that same chatzer. Hahu Yenuka, there was a child that had to have a circumcision on the eighth day. It was the Shabbos Mila, the Ishtapa Chamima. However, the hot water that they had prepared on Erev Shabbos which they need very desperately to wash the mako mila to avoid infection, and it spilled. So what happened? Amalu Rabba. Rabba said to the, you know, the Balei HaSimcha, the children, the father of the child, Naisu le chamima migo beisai. Go into my house. Apparently, Rabba shared this chatzer with the Balei HaSimcha, the Avi Abed. Go into my house. There's hot water there, and carry the hot water to your house. And Rava thought that probably they set up an Erev Chatzeros before Shabbos, or Shitufe Mavos, whatever they have to set up. And therefore there's no problem in carrying the water, the hot water from his house in that same Chatzer to the house of the baby in the same Chatzer. Now, it seems that in that courtyard, it was very chashiv. I wonder how much the real estate was. That cul-de-sac, Abai also lived in that chatzer. But Abai knew something that Rabba apparently was unaware of, namely that Rabba was mistaken when he thought that they had already made a tikkun of an eruv for this chatzer. So Amalei Abai turns to Rabba and he says, how can we take the water from your house to the house of the Tinok? For Allah Arvina, they did not make an eruv. And when you have two Jewish owners, you know, sharing the same chatzah, you must have an Erev Chatzes to carry from one bais to another. Amalei, so Rabba responds to Abaye, and he says, Nismoch Ashituf. Which means the following, that these various chatzeros spilled into a common mavui, and although the members of the chatzer did not make an eruv, however, the various chatzeros that shared the same mavui made a shituf muvos. And later on in Masechta Eruvin, the Gemara is going to establish on Dafayim Gimel and Beis, Nishtatfu b'mavui mutarim kan v'kan, that a shituf mavos has the power to be mati tiltal not only from the various chatzeros that share into the mavui, but even from one chatzer to the other in the mavui. And therefore, even in the absence of an Erev Chatzeros, the Shitufei Mavos, as a fallback position, will qualify and be Chal, will count even as far as an Erev Chatzeros is concerned. That's how Rashi learns this Gemara called Nismoch. However, if you see Tosus on the bottom of Samach Zayin, on the base of Maskel Nismoch, he raises a kasha from a Gemara later on, because the Gemara says that the halacha of nishtatfu b'mavoi mutarim zebazeh, that the mavoi, the sheet of mavos will suffice, will replace the erev chatzeros, it'll have a double function. That's only Rabbi Meir. However, that's the unique shita of Rabbi Meir, that you need shita muvos. I'm getting the names mixed up here, but in any event, it's Rabbi Meir who holds that you need both shita muvos and erev chatzeros to be matir tiltul nechatzer. And the din of nishtatfu b'movi mutarim kanu kan, that's a case where they were mishtatef b'mavui, and they also made an Erev Chatzero. So in other words, just to make a long story short, Rashi and Tosfos are arguing about a sugya later on, where Rashi understands that the sugya is matir, relying on a sheet of muvos, even in the absence of Erev Chatzeros, and Tosfos denies it. And Tosus insists that you need both an Erev Chatzeres and a Shituf Mavos, the Erev Chatzeres to be matir tiltul nechatzer, and the Shita Muvaz to be matir tiltal into the Mavui and in the Mavui. So Tosus says that there is a brisa. Chachamim omer ma'arvim omishtatfim. So although the Mishnah that Rashi quotes as a source for Shituf Mufoz to replace Eruch HaTirs is not a valid quote, that's not a real derivation, because that Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir, who requires both Shita Mufoz and Erev Chatzeros, not one or the other. But there is a brisa in a different sugya that quotes the Chacham as saying Ma'arvin o Mishtatfim, meaning each one individually is enough to be Matir, Hotzah, and Tiltal, even in the Chatzah itself. In addition, he points out here, Noagim ha'am ki Rabbi Meir lasos eshneim. Our minig is to have both an Erev Chatzeres and a Sheet of Muvos. Rabba Sovar, Kedas HaSovar, Shem Osu Sheetufei Muvos Bepas, is Mutal Letaltil Bechatzer Af Im Lo Irvuba. Again, we have to know these sugyas, but basically the bottom line here is that an Erev Bepas has a special status, and its power, its authority, what word am I using? It's chalos in Hebrew, but it is very broad, and it can serve a double function. Right, because again, who's putting down the sheet of Muvos in a pas? Where is this pas coming from? It's coming from all the chatzeros that share this one single mavui. So that pas can now serve as an eruv for the members of the chatzeros as well. And that again is a brisa in a different sugya. And Tosus thinks that sugya is the sugya that's reflected here by the statement of Rabba Nismoch Ashituf. Amalei, Abai's not happy with this. He says, V'holo Shatfinon. Guess what? To the same extent that we were negligent and we didn't set up an Erev Chatzeres, we also didn't set up a Shituf Muvos. So we have nothing to rely on. So Rabba, now that he finds out that there was no Erev Chatzeres, no Shituf Muvos, he's got to come up with a new solution to this problem, a new recommendation, how we can get the water, the hot water, over to the house where the bris is taking place. I'm not sure why Rabba couldn't offer to host the bris in his house. But anyway, Omar Abaye, I'm sorry I skipped, is Nemru Le, says Rabba, tell a Nochri Leisei Le. Which means we're going to ask a guy to carry the water from my house to the house of the Tino. And we're going to be lenient for the sake of Mila in the Iser of Amiral and Nochri. Right? We're not allowed to tell a guy to do Malach for us on Shabbos, and we cannot tell the guy to carry from one house to the other if there was no Eruv. That's a no-no. But for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila, we're going to allow special dispensation, and we're going to waive the Iser of Amiral and Nochri for the sake of Mila. Omer Abaye, Ba'oi li Osve Lamar, I had a question that I wanted to ask Mar means my master Rabba, on his assumption that we could be Mata the Iser of Amiral and Nochri, but I'm gonna zip locked by mouth. Why? Because lo shavkon Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef made a statement about when and how you can ask a kash on your Rebbe, and according to the rules that he formulated, I'm not allowed to ask the question. At least not now. The right moment will come later, but now Rav Yosef would, he's my super ego here. You know, the back of my mind says, Abaisa, I'm hearing him whispering in my ear a certain principle, which we'll see right now. And based on that principle, I'm not allowed to ask you my kash. The Omar of Yosef, Omar of Kahana, Ki Avin Bei Rav Yehuda. Now, the original transmission of this limitation about when you're going to allow to ask a kash on your Rebbe, when you're not, is attributed to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, again, we're going back an earlier generation. So we have Rav Yosef as the Rebbe of Abaye, and now we're going back to the Rebbe of Rav Yosef, and that's Rav Yehuda. And he said the following, that if a Chacham, and how much more so if it's your Rebbe, issues a halachic ruling, bidoraisa, in something that's relevant to an Isur Torah, and the Talmidim have a kasha to ask on the Rebbe, is then mosvina and tufta. Right now, immediately, they should ask the kasha. Because what's at stake is a doraisa. The Rebbe, the Chacham, gave a heter on an Isur doraisa, and the Talmidim have a kasha on that. They're compelled to immediately respond and raise their question. For Hadar Avdinan Maisa, to make sure that this question is going to be addressed and ironed out before somebody relies on the Maisa, relies on the Psak and the Heter of the Chacham, and they do a Maisa. And if they do a Maisa, they may be very well, and according to the logic of the Kasha, they'll be violating an Isur Torah. So we have to do whatever we can immediately to protect and prevent a violation of an Isur Torah. But b'derabbanan, let's say the Rabbi, the Chacham, issued a ruling, and he was lenient with regard to an Isur derabbanan, which means in the worst case scenario, even if the Chacham had made some sort of an error, the violation here would only, in the worst case, be a violation of Isur derabbanan. Avdidan maisa, we don't ask any questions and raise any objections to the horah, to the psak of the Chacham, and let the person who received, he was on the receiving end of this horah, let him do a maisa, let him rely on the Chacham. V'hadar, and later on, mosvinan tyufta. After the maisa is done, now we want to learn about the din itself, now it becomes more of a conceptual analysis, then we'll ask our question. Now here, says Abaye, in the case of carrying through Amir al-Nohri, and again, it's a little bit complicated here because it's not only Durabbanan because of Amir al-Nohri, but it's also Durabbanan because the Chatzar itself is Rishus HaYochid Midoraisa, right? So it's surrounded by Mechitzus. Durabbanan made Gzeira in the case of a Chatzar to require an Eruv. So that Hotzah itself, even if a Jew would have carried from one bais to the other bais in the chutzah, he would not violate any Isur Torah. On top of that, it's Amir al-Nohri. So we can't ask any kashas. I cannot raise any objections to Abaye because of this principle of Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Yehuda, that in a case of a Derabbanan, let the maisa go on, let the music play on, and only afterwards, when we want to have a theoretical analysis of the halacha, and we want to know how to paskin and how to codify the halacha for future use, then we'll raise all the objections. So that again, since hotzah from one bais to another bais in a chotzah without an eruv or without a shituf is only an isur derabbanan, on top to boot, we're talking about Amir al-Nohri. So therefore, I have to withhold my question. Now that we've done the Maisa, and we've already carried the water from Rava's house to the house of the Tino, is now, Omerli, my boys, the Osfei Lamar, what is your question? Now, the impression you get is that Rav Yosef himself was present at this dialogue, this back and forth between Abaye and Rabbah, and you know, Abaye automatically in the presence of Rav Yosef remembered what Rav Yosef had already told him, that you have to withhold and postpone your questions. Now Rav Yosef says, okay, the Maisa was done already. It's post facto. The water was taken by the guy from one house to the other. What's your question, Abai? What was your objection? Amrilay, if I, now that I could ask my question, this is what my question would be for Rabbah. Tesanya, we learned in a Brisa. Now this Brisa deals with what's called Mei Chatos, which, as you know, is the concoction that is made when we add water into Eitz Erev, Erez V'Ezov, and Shni Tolas. So we have this shrub and we mix it together with what's called mechatos, and we do hazah on a miss, on a tummy miss. He says, "Misha nitma v'mes tzrichim lahazel sol b'yom ha'shlishi b'yom ha'shvi mimayim chayim." Oh, I when I mentioned the shrub, I was talking about a zav. Now we're talking about a tummy mess. So in case of a tummy mess, mimayim chayim she'irvu b'socham efer paraduma. So this is the beginning of Parshas Chatos. I'm sorry, Parshas Chukas. I shouldn't forget that name. It was my bar mitzvah parsha. Okay, so this is the beginning of Parshas Chukas. And the Torah tells us you make a combination, you burn the paraduma, and with the ashes, you mix the ashes into Mayim Chayim, which means Mei Mayon. And from that concoction, you do Azah, B'Shlishi, U'B'Shvi on a Tomei Mes. And then and only then can his Tvila in a mikvah, can it be valid, can it be efficient and remove the Tumas Mes. And the Braisa says, Shvus. Which means that in the case of a tummy mess, we're not going to allow Hazah on the third and seventh day if it coincides with Shabbos. If either the third or the seventh day overlaps with Shabbos, then we have a shvus. A shvus means that in our Torah, there's no Yisrael, there's no Malach. The Rabbanon prohibited on Shabbos or on Yontif. And Hazal Tumames is not a Malach. There's no Malach that's involved by sprinkling this concoction onto the mess. But the Chachom said it's Asur. And the reason for this Isur is because the Rabbanon, the Gemara Pesachim, the Gemara were afraid that he might carry the Mechatos for Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, and he's so anxious to set up the Hazah that if there's no Mechatas here for the purpose of Hazah, he'll carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And there's no Heta to carry for Amos in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos for the purpose of Hazah of a Tomei. And Rashi in Pesachim explains that Hazah on a Tomei is a Shvus, not because we're afraid he'll carry it for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, but rather because of what's called Metaken, that anything that will purify a person, will generate his Tara, for example, the sprinkling of the Mechatos on Shvi, Shlishi and Shvi, that's called a Tikkun. And you're fixing up a person by transforming his status from a tummy into a tar, and that comes under Meleches Makah B'Patish. So what does the Braisa tell us? That Hazah is prohibited Mishum Shvus on Shabbos. You can't do the Hazah of the Mechatos on a tummy mess. And it says, Vamiro l'nochri shvus. They're telling a guy on Shabbos to violate the Shabbos. That's also a shvus. And now we turn to Samaches Omer Al. Mahazah Shvus V'yena Dochas HaShabbos. In other words, we have a Tomei Mes. And let's say we're up to, for argument's sake, Yom HaShvi, the seventh day, and it's Shabbos. He needs Hazah if that Shabbos happens to be Erev Pesach. I mean, we're just dramatizing it with the following scenario. He needs that Hazah to be Matar himself so that he can bring the Korban Pesach. In the absence of Hazah, on that very day, it's urgent, then tomorrow is the Erev Pesach, and he's still Tomei because there was no Hazah. So this would be a Hazah on Shabbos, Letzorech Mitzvah. And which Mitzvah? We're talking about the Mitzvah Korban Pesach, about which the Torah says, if you don't bring the Korban Pesach, you chayv karetz. And we're going to insist on the Iser Hazah as a Shvus D'Rabbanan, despite the fact that he needs this Hazah desperately to allow him to fulfill the mitzvah of Asiyas Korban Pesach. We're going to maintain and insist on the Iser Hazah, which is only D'Rabbanan, despite the repercussions that he will not be able to do the Korban Pesach, which is an Iser Koretz. And why? Because there's a Shvus of Hazah on Shabbos. Is if that be the case, af amir l'nachri shvus, v'ein adoches ha-shabbos. If we apply that principle that's codified in this brayso about hazah that's osur on Shabbos mishum shvus, even if he needs the hazah desperately in order to bring the korban pesach, applying it now to the case of mila, where we need to get the water from one house to the other, and that's a shvus, and we're going to tell the guy to carry the water, that's an Isra Amir L'Nachri, which is Shmuz, is we should apply the principle of Eina Dochas HaShabbos. Even if it's for the sake of a mitzvah, in this case as great as a mitzvah as circumcision, nevertheless, we're not going to be Docha the Shabbos with a Shmuz for the sake of this mitzvah. And the precedent is Hazah. Now Abai records, Omar Oli, Rav Yosef responded to me that even though you're right that we will derive from that braisa that we cannot be matter the Isur Amir L'Nochi Shvus even for the sake of a mitzvah, nevertheless v'lo shani loch, don't you see the difference bein Shvus L'Shvus? I skipped a few words deliberately. There are two categories of Shvus. There's one category of Shvus which is called Amir L'Nachri, and that's more Chamur. And then there's a Shvus which is less Chamur. What's a Shvus that's more Chamur, and what's a Shvus that's less Chamur? And the Nafkamin is going to be whether we can allow overriding the Shvus for the sake of a mitzvah. There's a Shvus the Ispe Maisa, and then there's a Shvus the Lespe Maisa. Okay, now what's Ispe Maisa and what's Lespe Maisa? I mean, I know how to translate the words literally. Is there an action involved or not? But how do we translate the words conceptually? And Rashi says that the Isa Shvus of Amir L'Nachri comes under two different applications. There's Ispe Maisa, where the guy violates some Isur Shabbos with a Maisa, he does a Melacha Min HaTorah, and now we're telling the guy on Shabbos to do this Maisa Melacha on our behalf. That's a very severe application of the Isur of Amir L'Nachri, and it constitutes an avera when you tell the guy to do a malacha gemura min haTorah on your behalf. Such an amir l'nachri, we would not be matir even with tzarech mitzvah. However, we have another category of a shvus of amir l'nachri, and that's a situation which is less chamor because less bei maisa. The guy is not doing a maisa malacha. There's no malacha gemura. And we're talking here about Hotzah Bechatzer, that you carry the water from one bayis in the Chatzer to another bayis in the Chatzer. That's called Lespe Maisa. Again, you have to conceptualize this because there is a Maisa. The guy is carrying the hot water from one house to another. He's carrying the thermos. But it's called and classified as quote-unquote Lespe Maisa because the guy is not doing on your behalf a Melacha Gemura. He's only carrying from a bayis to another bayis within a Chatzer. The Hamar, meaning Rabba, who's always called Mar, the master, Lo Omar Lenachri Zil Achem. Achem means to warm up the water with the lashon of Lachum, Lachamem. It wasn't that we didn't have any water that was hot. We had hot water. If we didn't have hot water and we were asking the Nachri to open the fire under the water in order to heat it up for the purpose of sterilizing the Mila, that would be an Amila Nachri, which we could not be Matir, even for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila, because that's Ispe Maisa, which means you're telling the guy to do on your behalf a Malacha Gemura of heating up water. But in this case, the water is already hot. We're only asking the guy to carry the water from the house of Rabba to the house of the Tinok. That Isra Otzah in a chatzer is only Durabana. Ah, now we're talking about Miro Lenachri, where you're telling him to violate an Isra Durabana on your behalf of Hotzah Bechatzer. That's a Shvus where we could be Mekil in the case of a Tzarech Mitzvah. Now we're going to allow telling the guy to transport the hot water from one house to the other within the chatzer, because that's considered Lespe Maisa. And again, we have to always emphasize that Lespe Maisa should not be interpreted literally, because even in this case, the Nachri is doing a Maisa. He's transporting the water through the Chatzer. But it's called Lespe Maisa because it's not a Maisa Malacha Gemura. It's not a Malacha and an action which is on the highest level, an Iser Malacha Da'orais. But it comes out clearly, according to the Maskon of the Sugya, that if you were to tell the guy to heat up water on Shabbos, even for the sake of a mitzvah, that would not be a mitigating circumstance. There would be no leniency in that case. We're only going to allow a mule and nachri if the water is already hot and there's no need for the malach, for the guy to do to perform a malacha gemur. Now, at this point, I would like to introduce a machlokes between the Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rif says that Ispe Maisa means a Malacha D'Oraisa, and Lespe Maisa means a Malacha D'Rabbanan, and we explain the Sugya in line reflecting the Rif. The Ritva, on the other hand, quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, and he says that Ispe Maisa means davar sha'osim ba tikun beguf ha'davar. Ispe Maisa means that you're changing the object itself. Kegon lechamim es hamayim. That heating up water, I mean, water is very unique in that sense, that it really changes the entire structure of the water. And that's called Chimum Mayim. And Lespe Maisa means Hainu She'eno Ose Tikun Beguf HaDavar Kigon She'mevies HaMayim HaChamim Mimokom LeMokom. He's doing nothing more than transporting the water. Uba'ofen Zeh, or here's the punchline, says Rabbeinu Yonah, he tira filu isa doraisa, kigon lahavi derech rishus harabim. Would I be allowed on Shabbos for the sake of Mila to instruct the guy to carry the hot water, again, it's preheated hot water in a thermos, from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa. According to the Rif, that's already called a Shvus de Ispe Maisa, because that would entail what for the Jew would be a Melacha Doraisa, Melacha Gevura. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Maisa means Maisa Begufo, he transforms the object, as opposed to Maisa Shelo Begufo, which is called Lespe Maisa, means it's only a transportation issue. It's relocating the object, but not changing the physical structure of the object. I didn't ask him to heat up the water. Then Rabbeinu Yonah would allow me, for the sake of a mitzvah, to tell a guy to do a malacha d'oraisa if that malacha, like hotzah, is lespe maisa, which means there's no shinui, there's no change in the guf adov. And Rabosa, I can't begin to tell you how important, on a conceptual level, forget about halacha l'maisa, this has tremendous repercussions halacha l'maisa, but how important Rabbeinu Yonah's breakthrough here is on a conceptual level. Because never ever do we find, and we, you know, not long ago, about 5 days ago, we finished with the Sefer Shabbos, we never find in the constellation of Shabbos that we differentiate between one malach and another malach. It's all Shabbat b'Shabbat, it's Mikshachas, there are 39 malachas. And whatever rules you apply to one malach applies to all 39, and vice versa. Rabbeinu Yonah is busting that up. He's breaking, you know, our, I don't know what you call it in English, when you have certain beliefs, you know, from the time that you nursed your mother's breast milk, you know. He's breaking that up. Forget it. There are two categories of malachas, and one is more severe than the other. One malacha is a shinui begufo shel chefetz, and another malacha, which is called lespe maisa, does not entail any change in the object itself. And what example can we have of a malacha that doesn't change the object itself? That's the malacha of Hotzah. So if I'm telling the guy on Shabbos to transport the hot water from a Rishus HaRavim into a Rishus HaYachid, then I'm allowed to tell the guy to do that for the sake of a mitzvah, because that's a different kind of a malacha. But we have now broken down the categories of malacha into two subcategories. So this is where, Rabosai, we're going to stop for today. Yes, please. This is Rabbeinu Yonah. Yeah. Next time, I don't know when you're planning with today's traveling, but next time you're in Spain, then you want to go see, you can actually walk on the streets that Rabbeinu Yonah walked on in the city of Gironda. Okay, so there's a lot to see there. I know you're a tour guide and you'll enjoy it very much if you've never been there. That's the great Rabbeinu Yonah. We have many sforim from him, but this is his insight against the Rif, by the way, into our Gemara. Okay then, so let me take this opportunity to wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, because I think today is Thursday, am I right? Sometimes I lose track of the days in this kind of situation. So we'll see each other, B'li Neder, on Sunday, and we'll pick it up here on Daf Samaches Amid Aleph, towards the top of the Amid.